Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. And since you subscribed to the show, you get to listen to the show. The second part, the emotional transition for Becky, Rebecca Nay from trainingrec.com. No, trainingrec.com. And you can listen to the first part. If you haven't listened to the first part of this interview, go back on the Monday show and listen to it. And today we are going to talk about, we talk about the vagina part, anything that is sort of, you know, sexually, and also what part turns into what, and what is the sexually sensitive part turns into what, blah, 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 how you pee. We talked about that last week, not last week, but last show. And today we are dilation. Going to talk, dilation. How do you stretch from one rod to the other, getting bigger?
And turn also, that pussy, baby.
What, Macy, pussy? Macy's pussy.
Stretching that Macy's pussy.
Stretching that Macy's pussy with a Walmart budget, which is wonderful. Go to a website with those information, would be mtfsurgery.com. Get more information about your Macy's pussies. And excuse me, hairball. And as I'm looking at the finished vagina, I'm looking at the vagina pictures right now, and they look very real. Not that I've seen a real, I really haven't seen a real vagina before. I have not. I just haven't.
Don't judge. Don't hate.
I have not seen a real one before, but it looks pretty real from here.
I've never been with a woman sexually, and I have a feeling that's going to change once I get my pussy, ironically. So as far as just looking at a pussy in real life, strip club, not regrettably. I mean, strip club is the only place that I've seen them, and like I said, I've never sexually... As far as my sexual attraction to women, it seems to be growing the older I get, but I think I'm still mostly physically attracted to men. Mm-hmm. But as far as a relationship, I could probably go either way and be completely happy and fulfilled depending on, you know, what's going on in the relationship.
Okay. Now, so I have this next question. And you know I'm lazy, so I don't do a lot of prep work, so everything is spur of the moment. I just want to ask you emotionally, how do you feel about, will you miss your penis? Will you miss your dong? Obviously you're looking for the transition, and I understand that part about really completing the chapter, getting to the point where, you know, your physical appearance and your physical can, your body can actually match what is inside of you, but at the same time, what are you feeling about it going away? Is it a relief, or do you have feelings about, gosh, is it going to be different when it's not there?
Relief and anxiety. Anxiety in the fact that, am I going to be left with something that is going to be just as natural looking as what I've got now, if all goes well, the answer to that will be inevitably yes. So if I walk out of this thing having a vagina like what you're seeing in those pictures there, then I will be happy and relieved. But that's where my emotional anxiety is right now. As far as the relief factor, I'm tired of having a lump in between my legs. I haven't had, you know, in my mind, I didn't think I had a problem with my penis, when I was a kid. But looking back, I've always adjusted it. It's never felt comfortable. There's only certain positions to where it feels comfortable. When it's just hanging down and there's a bulge, that's always felt awkward to me. Mm-hmm. And of course, I didn't associate that with wanting to be a woman when I was a kid. I just thought that that's how I felt about
Just
my
another
penis.
annoyance.
Once I hit puberty and I realized how much fun I could have with it, this thing ain't so bad.
But who knows? Now you can reconstruct it, and hopefully you still be able to enjoy it.
Exactly, and that's my and that's my whole hope, is that since my orgiectomy, since I had my balls chopped off, the amount my orgasms are not as explosive. I don't have those all explosive shooting orgasms anymore. As a matter of fact, they're a lot more mellow, but I can, you know, have multiple orgasms if I have enough stamina, even though they're more mellow, but I can, you know, just keep going, you know, it's like an, you know, so, that's kind of weird.
It doesn't come with
I wasn't
one big one.
That.
It doesn't come with one big one, but you can actually have several not
yes.
as big ones.
Yes. Okay. And just kind of keep it going. And it feels really good. And I'm hoping.
Is orgasm different? A male orgasm from a after surgery orgasm, I wonder. Of course, after surgery, you have to let me know.
Exactly. All I know right now is that the orgasm that I have now is different from the orgasms that I had when I had testicles.
Can you describe
as far
it?
As,
is it something that you can put it towards? Or is it
well,
too hard to
I don't know if I could describe it any better than I already have, as far as it just being less intense. But lasting longer, and you can, you still have this sensation of shooting, even though nothing is coming out, and then you have at least a minor letdown, but then you can just keep going again and build it right back up again, build the sensation and the pressure right back up again. So I can still have, erections to where, blood flows and stiffens the penis. But, like I said, none of it is as intense as it was because, the testosterone source, I have no testosterone in my body now. And that plays a huge role in, sexuality from a physical and an emotional perspective. Emotionally, having the testicles removed calmed me down. And helped me level off emotionally. Now I need to, I'm going to be going off of estrogen here in about a week because you've got to stop taking hormones 2 weeks before surgery.
Okay.
And it has to do with minimizing risks for blood clots and stuff like that, which totally makes sense. But emotionally, I'm going to go through kind of a, I think I'm going to go, I'm expecting emotionally to go through kind of a funk, pre-surgical funk, a mini depression because I'm not going to be on hormones.
Now, when are you going to stop taking it? It's probably like middle of November.
Yeah. Within the next week or so, I'm going to stop taking hormones.
I'm glad we did this interview now.
Exactly.
You'll be like, oh, shit, I'm your whore.
Shut up.
Oh my gosh, the Skype just censored you. Say that again.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, okay, good. Skype just cut out that part.
Oh god.
Skype censored
timing
you.
For you. I Skyped right around the F word.
Yeah, exactly. So okay, yeah, and you made that very clear that it's a relief, but at the same time anxiety as far as, how of course you're hoping that it would be all functional, but you still have that anxiety on whether or not it's going to get to that stage.
Yeah. Having a healthy sex life is one of the big reasons I'm getting the surgery done. Mm-hmm. As far as my sense of womanhood, I already feel like a woman, and I don't, at least let's put it this way. I don't want to feel any more like a woman after the surgery than I do now, because I don't like having gender defined by our anatomy, by what's in between our legs. Gender should be defined by what's going on in our head. I don't think, you know, so I'm hoping that after the surgery, I don't let the social construct of gender affect me in that way. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's
out of this, God, I feel like a real woman now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's just one extra thing. It's just another thing. It's not one extra thing.
It's for having sex reassignment surgery is not what defines me as a transsexual. Yeah.
Or as a woman.
Yeah. It's just a procedure that I have chosen to do to enhance my life. Mm-hmm. There are many transgender people that choose not to have the surgery. Mm-hmm. For trans men, a penis costs over $100,000, and you still have to pump, attach a pump to it to get it erect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I've seen the documentary on HBO.
So as you could see, most trans men do not elect to have a penis. I consider them to be just as much men as anybody as natal men. So I'm hoping that what I'm trying to do emotionally is just focus it around how it can improve my life. If I want to go into a women's changing room, I won't feel as self-conscious because my anatomy will look like theirs. Mm-hmm. If I'm wearing a bathing suit, I won't have to worry about if anybody notices the lump in between my legs because talking to me is just way too uncomfortable, even without testicles. it does not feel comfortable to me.
Ouch.
So I've never talked. I just wear loose pants. I wear loose clothing, and I want to be able to.
Oh, I forgot to check out your crotch when we met.
Yeah, even clothing. I mean, there are just so many ways emotionally that I think I can. I hope to benefit from having the surgery. Just wearing, and these are minute things. The sexuality, the ability to have a healthy sex, life. Is the most important thing to me as far as why I chose to get this surgery. And just the sense of having peace of feeling like my body conforms to how I feel about myself. Mm-hmm. So, that's kind of what I'm hoping for emotionally, what I'm expecting from this. And, hopefully I don't get, because I know I'm going to get a lot of questions from well-meaning but ignorant people about, do I feel like a real woman now? I'm totally expecting those questions to come. And some people that struggle with the pronouns before will probably all of a sudden magically not anymore.
Well, that's
just
kind of
because, a lot of people buy into that gender is decided by genitalia. Mm-hmm. Argument. And like I said, I hope as a society we can move from that. And nice.
So,
somebody's trying to call me. Oh
yellow?
Well.
Do you need to
let it ring? Sorry about that, online listeners.
Do you need to go answer?
No. I'm just. It's an unknown number, so I'm just gonna let it. Okay, it stopped. Good.
Okay, good.
That's podcasting for you.
Where our studios are actually our homes.
Exactly.
I'm in the basement. And so, okay, one other thing is, what do you feel right now, weeks before, just several weeks before you traveling over to Thailand and actually having the surgery?
I'm feeling just very anxious and nervous. As I said in the last show, the fact that there's going to be a loss of control over the outcome. Mm-hmm. I'm basically relegating control of my life over to some doctors for, a couple of weeks. And that makes me nervous. Even though I strongly feel that Dr. Kamal is going to do a good job on me, and I've talked to at least one girl that's seen him, one woman that's seen him, mm-hmm. and right now I'm getting getting ready to, I'm getting in contact with another that's over there right now as we speak.
Also from the United States?
Yeah, from Portland.
Oh.
These are Portland girls that have seen him.
See.
So, you know, he just raised his prices. He's not one of the more popular surgeons in Thailand because I think not a lot of people have known about him. That people are, but I think he's starting to build up his reputation quite a bit.
Well, that's good.
And so yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just hopeful as I, you know, relegate control over to these doctors that all will turn out well. And, you know, I'm, you know, for me to cope with where I'm at emotionally, I just have to trust them,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's that. And that's how I'm getting through this is to just, you know, try and keep a positive outlook and a positive attitude. And I really do. I'm nervous and I'm anxious, but I, in the end, I have utmost confidence that these doctors will give me a well-functioning pussy that will masturbate on its own, considering I'm paying so much fucking
switch.
Money.
Macy's pussy.
My Macy's pussy.
With a, oh, you know what, with a clap on, clap off. Okay, excited.
That's what I did for my vibrator, a clap-on vibrator.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, clap, ooh.
I just keep it in all day, and then when I'm at work, I can just clap when I'm really bored.
Oh, goodness. Okay,
if I ever go to a football game, I'd be in trouble.
Oh, yeah, you'll be very happy.
Or a concert where people clap at the end.
You'll be very happy. You'd be like,
Now, that would be worth a video podcast.
Yeah, it definitely will. Adam Curry would like that. Gosh. When was the starting point of where you feel... starting to feel anxious and nervous about the surgery? When did
you know
it start?
I think it just, well, yeah, I when I'm at work, you know, I don't know, it's just kind of weird. It just depends on the, you know, it goes on and off, you know, it depends on how busy I am. You know, I do certain things, like I think that's one of the reasons why I, even though I talk shit about World of Warcraft because for some people it's a game, for others it's a lifestyle. For me, I enjoy on the weekends just escaping into that world because it gets my mind off of everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I just got a lot of stuff going on in my life right now with my relationship on the fritz. Well, we are breaking up. We've already decided that. You know, so my relationship just kind of going to shit over the last 2 months has distracted me quite a bit from the surgery. So, and maybe that's a good thing. I'm not so sure, certain about that, because I, you know, one would think other trans, if there are other trans people listening to your show, which I'm sure there are, you know, they're probably wondering, you know, I am excited. I am very excited. But yet, you know, with things that
are
happening.
There are also other things in life, not just that surgery.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just want this chapter of my life to be closed because really the only reason I'm still working where I'm at is because I didn't want to quit my job in fear that it would jeopardize my chance of getting my surgery.
Mm-mm-mm.
So once my surgery is done, I don't really have a whole hell of a, and my relationship is kind of done. Once those two factors have been resolved, mm-hmm. I don't have a whole hell of a lot in my life stopping me from making some changes to other areas of my life that need improvement, mm-hmm. Primarily my professional life. Because right now I'm just sitting in a cubicle all week, doing boring routine work, which for some people that are unemployed, don't get me wrong, there, I'm sure there's some people that would just long to have at least that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you can have my job. for the, you know. But really, you know, in the reality is, I'm ready to move on so somebody that needs that job more than me can have it. And I'm ready to move on to some activism, whether it's involved in peace activism or civil rights activism, or, you know, I'm thinking of selling my house and just trying to become a minimalist, you know, because the less I need to live on, the more freedom I have to go wherever I need to go, to, you know, to whether it's volunteering in New Orleans or wherever, you know, mm-hmm. Peace Corps, you know, I'm just living in a commune or whatever. Right now I just can't continue living the American lifestyle. And I know we're kind of getting off subject, but for me, this is what's going through my head emotionally. Sure. Is I just want to get this surgery done, you know. So it sounds like.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish the thought.
So I can focus on other areas of my life that truly, and be who I am, which is somebody that wants to help people, wants to make a change, and wants to be a productive member of society instead of just being a consumer. And paying my debts and you know, working and then being too tired to do anything else.
So what I was trying to say earlier was that it sounds like, and which is really great that we actually have this conversation, is that to other people looking from the outside, all they can think of is, I'm sure everything you think of right now, it's about the surgery, which is not true, because that is just, you know, maybe one little subject or one paragraph in that chapter, and you also obviously have other paragraphs to looking for life. For the change in your life. So it looks like it's a big page turn.
This is how I look at it. If I were to focus a big portion of my thoughts are on the surgery. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. But I'm also decided that I don't want to just have the surgery and then go, now what?
Sure.
You know, I'm one of those linear type people that I feel like life is about moving forward, getting stuff done, just having things to look forward to. And so that's what I'm really focusing on right now during this little waiting period is, what's next? What's after this? And that's really taken up a lot of my emotional time and thought is, you know, I want to start a couple of new podcasts. I wouldn't mind seeing what potential there is to monetize, to make some money in podcasting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want it to be with Tranny Rick Radio, because as soon as I like the freedom that I have with my personal podcast. Mm-hmm. Once money's involved, there you know, restrictions become involved. But you know, but there's still ways to make money in podcasting that I want to explore, even if it's not with Tranny Rec Radio. So, you know, just I'm going to be looking at all kinds of opportunities. I want more freedom in my life. And right now, being in debt, working 40 hours a week, and then just spending the rest of my time consuming, you know, which is basically the American lifestyle, it's one that's taking its toll on our planet, on our society. I think our country is in for some really hard times, not only because of our foreign policy, but because of domestic policy. In regards to trade and the fact that more money is coming out of this country, and what's coming in is just a bunch of useless shit that we're buying with our credit cards. I don't see how that's going to have a good ending. I don't want to contribute to that anymore. You know, I've been reading this political book called American Theocracy by Kevin Phillips. Mm-hmm. And that talks about the perils of radical religion, borrowed money, and oil, and how those three things are really fucking this country over. Mm-hmm. And so that a lot of that is really taking up my time. And oh, and by the way, I'm getting a surgery in 3 weeks.
And then going to IKEA after that.
Then I'm going to become a lesbian.
Oh, then I'm going to become a lesbian.
Oh, wait, I gotta deepen my voice then.
Well, that's very interesting. And so yeah, it looks like you have a lot to look forward to. I mean, besides the surgery, I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking forward to quite yet after the surgery, but I'm excited to, I there's this place in, I think it's Alphaville, Oregon, or the name of the Alpha Farm, up in Northwest Oregon. I'm going to go visit that place. It's kind of an intentional community, like a living center, or a self-sustained community, very similar to what Michael Herron is doing in Georgia with Koinonia.
MikeyPod.com.
Yeah, MikeyPod.com. I'm looking at that option. I don't know if that's going to be a good fit for me because while I am a socialist, I don't know if I'm that socialistic. There still are good things to capitalism, just not when it's run amok.
Balance, balance.
Yeah. Exactly. And I just want to say, I'm also looking at taking a pilgrimage, traveling the world, because if I sell my house, I'll have money to do that. And just looking for opportunities to live, wherever. I'm thinking my time in Portland is numbered, though. I'm really starting to believe that. I'm not sure there's really any opportunity for me to live and grow, at least at this point. Maybe later on in life I'll come back here because I really do love Portland. But just economically, just moving up through the corporate ladder in corporate America, I think I've hit my glass ceiling. Because I'm a 6 foot one woman with a somewhat masculine looking face. I've realized, gender rights are very important to me. I've realized, I gave up male privilege. I now realize what I took for granted. Even as a gay man, I took male privilege for granted. And
Yeah,
so, you
that's a
know,
very interesting point for you then coming having seeing both sides.
It's just for me to live the American lifestyle while the more I learn about what it's doing to our society and planet, the less I want to live the American lifestyle. And it's not and it's not that and I just want to say, because I'm not dissing on anybody that is living the American lifestyle. It's just that I'm thinking more and more it's not for me.
What about have you thought about where? Like, do you think about outside of the United States
Oh,
or?
yes, inside and outside the United States. I'm not sure I necessarily have to leave this country to live the kind of life I want to live. However, the foreign part, policy part of what's happening is scaring the shit out of me too.
And hopefully.
And the fact that, I'm very curious. No, let's see. This show is going to be after
Yeah,
election,
correct. So hopefully by now things will be brighter, or who knows? People might be.
Yes,
I'm so
but if
afraid.
any of your listeners are hit listening to this show, I'm going to be either ecstatic or very depressed.
Yeah, me
So
too.
go to trannyreg.com for updates on that.
Me
I'll either
too.
have a celebration or a suicide cast.
Oh gosh. No, because I'm so afraid. And of course I've been telling people this that my future is also in your hands. Those people who voted and who did not vote on Tuesday. All those are a part of my, and of course it's my choice of being a permanent resident here. I don't have the right to vote. And so my pretty much my life is also depending on how you vote. And my biggest, you know, thing that my biggest worry was that whether or not the vote is going to be counted correctly and properly and justly and fairly. And with this, all this electronic voting machines, that just scared me a lot. Think
well,
of what
I believe this, and I've heard this on Air America. I think even somebody on Richard's show said it about if enough people vote, if enough progressive people, progressively minded people vote, that you know, as long as it's not close, they can't fix the election. The problem is a lot of these races are looking like they're going to be really close. And if they're close, they're likely going to go to the Republicans. Mm. And because they have the ability to manipulate the results either before, during, or after the vote. And, yeah, you know, like I said, if the Republicans still are in power, or let's say they even, it sounds like to me they're not going to gain any more seats in either house.
Yeah.
But
it's either
whether
or not.
But if for some reason that if that happens, then I'm gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that tells me there's nothing stopping this political system that has now been in place.
But don't you think that it's coming to, it's the pendulum is starting to sway back. Do you think?
Well, I felt that in 2004. I really did. I thought, okay, we've been in Iraq for a year. Things are not looking so good. The president is just using a bunch of lame, retarded reasons for being in there. I thought in 2004, I couldn't for the life of me understand how this motherfucker could get another 4 years in the White House. So I have to say that, yes, while I feel, and I feel like even more so now than 2 years ago, things are looking like they're going to, the pendulum is going to swing. I'm very reserved, you know.
I wasn't feeling that way in 2004. I know that there are still a lot of remnants of that direction. This year,
I think,
however,
one of the reasons I felt so good in 2004 is because I was very politically active and involved. I went canvassing. I made phone calls. I got up at 6 in the morning and made phone calls to Ohio, mm-hmm. To encourage them to vote. We knew by Election Day that Oregon was going to go to Kerry. We felt pretty secure about that. So, you know, I felt really good. And this time I've been a little bit more lazy. I think they're for understandable reasons. I've just, you know, I got a lot on my plate right now,
yeah.
Obviously. But, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, I mean, this election, it's very interesting we're talking about this in the context of the emotional side of my upcoming surgery.
Yeah.
Because this has been probably a healthy distraction, the election, and just, you know, I've never been so interested in a midterm election before.
Yeah.
You know, so that's been a healthy distraction because for me, I've always growing up been a very patriotic person. I used to cry when the national anthem was played. Mm-hmm. I used to hang a flag in my house, all of these things. I used to feel very proud to be an American. The patriotic music moved me. You know, that patriotism that was a part of who I am. Now, with that said, I think I'm a little bit more, because I'm more socially aware now, I see the danger that not really patriotism, because there's nothing wrong with having pride in your country, but the nationalism that we have to where we think we're better than everyone else and that everyone else, we can exert our right and our will on the rest of the world. That makes me nauseous.
I think for the same amount of patriotism in the person who has seen the world. I mean, mm-hmm. the world, not mm-hmm. like from California to New York, but the world, anything mm-hmm. outside of the United States, the same patriotism might be a little bit more friendly to the other world than people who have only seen America being patriotic, because mm-hmm. it then gives you the idea that you're the best, even though I haven't seen anything else, I'm the best. It just makes it a little bit stupid. And I think that is patriotism comes from, I was just telling Bruce that I, as a foreigner, as an outsider, I used to look into America and wanting to be an American rather than inside the country, American, boasting about how great it is being an American. I think the success of the United States for me is that because everybody from outside wants to be that long to be an American, and not like today, most of that screaming is coming from within, from inside, boasting about the benefit or the beauty of being an American. Now, I still want to be an American, and it's sort of giving me this complex that at the time where the world is looking at American differently is when the time I'm deciding to become an American.
Yeah, that's got to be interesting, because we had this discussion. We had a discussion about this on my show that was recorded. I think it was, I can't remember, Tranny Rec 41 or some shit like that. It was the show right after my anniversary show for your listeners that are interested in hearing your lovely queen have a lovely car discussion on this subject.
Yeah.
But, it's interesting how, you know, and I'm not saying I don't want to be an American anymore. It's just that what I long for, and I think I still have faith in our democracy. I still have faith in our country. I'll tell you what, and this may not all play out how I want it to play out, but if it did, if the Democrats took back both houses of Congress and impeached this president, that's going to go for me emotionally and about how I feel about this country. That is going to really do a lot for me. I will be able to start feeling good about being an American again, because that'll tell me that as a country, we have made some decisions to start playing by the rules. If we start playing by the rules and we take the moral high ground when it comes to issues of war and peace, and when it comes to fighting religious extremism, there are other ways to do it than dropping bombs. So, you know, if we can take the moral high ground here and just learn how to start learning how to live with our neighbors.
Yeah, exactly. That's the key thing.
Then for me, that would be like, once again, I would be proud to be an American, you know? Because we can be the greatest country in the world. And it doesn't have to happen militarily. A lot of people want to boast about how we're the greatest country in the world because we can kick anybody's ass. Well, for those that believe that, I say grow the fuck up. This isn't fucking high school or elementary school where the biggest and baddest kid on the playground is the best, you know, necessarily the most desirable. Yeah. You know, fucking grow up. That's what I want to see our society do. I feel like other societies that have been around longer than us are more mature than we are. You know, I feel like we're these, as a country, we're this over testosterone adolescent. We're an adolescent with too much fucking testosterone.
Yeah, in a way, it's sort of.
It's like God.
If you go
up.
By the amount of years of in existence, it uh-huh. sort of is we're in that teenage years in comparison with the other countries, and so maybe it's part of growing up is to...
Or maybe we're going through a midlife crisis. I don't know what the hell it is, but we're definitely... I think the United States and just our society in general is going through some growing pains. We're going to have to change our consumerist habits. I think nationalized health care is going to happen in this country. It's only a matter of time because it's the right thing and responsible thing to do. And the reason I see that as inevitable is because corporate America is starting to jump on board with that. I warm up to that idea. And they're the ones that run this country right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as far as the long-term outlook for humanity, I'm not very optimistic. when you compare how long our species has been around compared to, what is it, 200 or 300 million years dinosaurs were around, we're screwed. We're not even lasting another million years, you know? but you know, because I think we're kind of a warmongering species in general. You know, I'm hopeful, you know, if our country, the most powerful country in the world, can't get out of our growing pains, then I think our species is doomed. I really do in the long run.
Yeah.
You and I will be all right, but you know what I mean?
Your Macy's vagina will be.
My Macy's vagina will be. Yeah, we were talking about Macy's vagina.
Because that's what I'm going to name the show. Last show, Macy's
last
vagina.
Show is vagina. Let's see, what are we going to name this show? The political orgasm.
Yeah, dilation of political dilation.
Something.
Well, like, I'll think about
the orgasm.
You know, one of my favorite things to do is to give a title to a show, and I usually don't think about the title until after I record the show, and then I listen to the show, or while I'm prepping for the show, I come up with the idea of the title of the show. So I think Macy's Pussy or Macy's Vagina would be the show title.
Macy's
Pussy, Walmart's Prize.
For the first one, and then, Political Orgasm is my vote for this one, but...
Political Orgasm,
we really haven't
the
talked
vagina.
A whole lot.
Oh, yeah, that's
we really
true.
Haven't done a whole lot of pussy talk for
yeah.
this show.
Yeah, how
we
about
end with
emotionally vagina... vagina's emotion.
Well, let's see. If I pet it, then it will be nice and happy.
No, you clap it.
As long as I have my clapper and a well-functioning vibrator.
The curtain would open.
Hello. You know what we really haven't talked about
what?
is the sexual part.
Oh,
of
tell
it.
Yeah, do tell.
How it's going to affect my sexuality.
Yeah, yes. Now, yeah, is it the surgery or what?
Well, I think, you know, as far as who I have sex with, mm-hmm. it's going to open up my options quite a bit more than where they're at now.
Okay.
Because right now, I'm not man enough for straight women or gay men. Mm-hmm. And I'm not woman enough for straight men or lesbian women. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because right now our society, even though our society has came a long way in terms of acceptance of gay people, people are generally see themselves as being either gay or straight. And that regardless of how a person views themselves, in terms of sexual orientation, they're going to question that in one way or another if they're with me.
Yeah.
So, you know, and for me, I don't, because I've moved past that, and not that issues of sexual orientation are something people need to move past, but I don't care what my sexual orientation is. I don't care what the sexual orientation of my partner is. All I care about is that they, are supportive and respect me and my journey.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and they're sexually attracted to me.
Of course. Otherwise, how does that work? It won't last. But I think we talked about that on the earlier show in April.
We did, didn't we?
We talked about gender, gender and sexual orientation, and the two separate things. And yeah, do tell what is it going through, and when? Because you know you went through a period of time that you thought you were a gay man, and then you discover more about yourselves and yourselves, multiple personalities. And tell us a little bit about that. Like, how does that change, like, from the whole transition period, not just the surgery, but the whole transitional period?
I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable flirting with straight men.
Okay.
Now I don't feel comfortable flirting with I don't feel comfortable flirting with anybody that perceives me as a woman but doesn't know about my anatomy,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's a part of me that doesn't feel genuine about that. I feel like I'm deceiving them.
Sure.
Like if they see me as a woman, they're going to assume I have, most people that see me as a woman that don't know me are going to assume I have a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and my genitalia is going to be an important part, you know, sex is an important part of the dating process.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now I'm a lot more, I don't flirt really with anybody. I mean, I'm starting to a little bit, and I'm actually starting to notice, because for the longest time I just block anybody that's looking at me, I just block it out.
Because yeah, kind of like
of times,
me.
A lot of times the stares I get are not so friendly.
Sure, sure.
But now that I'm starting to pay attention again, I'm starting to catch some friendly stares.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm looking forward to being able to flirt again and feel more genuine about it. Because I don't want to because now it's like if I want to flirt with somebody, it's like before you get too far into the flirting process, I feel like I have to tell them, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, by the way.
Now, so
I'm part of that is so I don't have to waste my time too, you know.
Yeah. Another question is when you start doing that, even at like post surgery, mm-hmm. What is the etiquette? Is that going to be something that you need to talk about, you being a trans woman, or is it not something that is crucial?
Well, it depends. If it's a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, I don't think I need to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on the situation because I consider myself to be pansexual, very sexually open. Last year I went to a party where just about anything goes.
What about
it's safe and consensual?
Was it, have you always been that way? Or is it after the, like, have you always been pansexual?
Well, for the longest time, I was just interested in men.
Okay.
I think the older I get, since my transition, I've become more and more interested in women.
Mm-hmm.
And now, for me now, as far as a relationship goes, I could be probably in a relationship with either gender.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to be with somebody that is as sexually open as me,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, having sex with the same person for the rest of my life seems kind of boring.
Dry.
Yeah, but being with somebody, having companionship with the same person for the rest of my life, being loyal and committed to them emotionally sounds kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 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 it does.
You know?
It's not a... That's why we always thought on every single subject, I think as long as we can look at people as an individual, mm-hmm. we'll probably have less friction with other people because it may not be, you do not apply one template on every single person. But as long as you know that, you know, there will be different things for different people, and as long as we can respect that choice or that the way of how you want to live your life, we'll be much better people.
Anybody, yeah. I mean, for me, it's just going to be on a, you know, a person-by-person basis as far as whether it's sex or a relationship. You know, as far as, like, sexual activities, I've never had the desire to go down on a woman, and I still kind of don't.
So what do you do then?
Well, while eating dinner.
Where's my wasabi? Pass the wasabi. Ooh, that's really bad. Ooh, I'm going to get hate mail. Sorry, that was just a joke. Soy sauce. Oops, sorry. That's bad.
We're so sexist.
I know.
You know, that's another interesting thing, though, is I've really recognized some of the sexist views I've had of women over the past few years. You know, I feel like I'm a lot more enlightened in that area, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was still raised as a guy, so I think I still have a lot of male preconceptions, misconceptions about things. But from an emotional standpoint, I think for me, having a vagina is going to do wonders for my sex and so, you know, for my dating life, too, because it will give me confidence, or I hope it will. If the results turn out well, like I said, I'm trying to have reasonable expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not expecting a bionic vagina that will accommodate. You know, if I get
vagina,
one of those, exactly.
Macy's yeah. Pussy. I just did a reverb.
You know, if I get a Macy's pussy, then I will be ecstatic. If it's a Walmart pussy, I'll be pissed.
But at least you pay for the Gap. Walmart price.
Yeah, the Gap pussy.
Oh, the Gap.
Somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between. A Target. Gap. Like a little Target would be good.
Or the Target.
A Target. It kind of looks like a pussy. There's a Target there, a hole. And
then... Oh, boy.
Look at us. Getting all serious.
Exactly. You can't take everything. I mean, you know, like I said, I did a skit on my show, early on, making fun of people that thought I was going to a third world country,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of racist. When people assume I'm going to a third world country, it's just, it's probably more culturally ignorant than it is racist. But I created this really racist skit where a Thai doctor has me strapped to a table and is getting ready to perform my surgery with a chainsaw. He's just sitting there going, obviously I'm the one doing his language skills. Can't be erased.
I speak fake Thai.
Fake tie, yeah, yes. There you go.
Yeah, I speak fake tie. So I want to wish you all the best.
Uh-huh.
And everything,
Have we covered everything pussy related?
I don't know. You can come back and after you've, come back from Thailand with your Macy's pussy. And we can talk about
if some of my expectations, whether I am...
And I'm sure it's a process.
Whether things went above or below my expectations.
Sure.
That will be
and of course, will you be talking about that on your own show as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so listen to trannyrec.com.
Audio, video, and written word. I plan on doing all three over the next few months.
And it's really good. And I really want to thank you for sharing this process with...
Mm-hmm.
The world.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you are very welcome. And your listeners and people who found your website, people who are going through what you have been through already, it's going to be great. I think that's part of the reason why I stopped the idea of thinking about stopping the show is how tiny or how really insignificant I think some things are that I put out there is sometimes significant for one soul out there.
Absolutely. And if you have any more listeners besides Rito living in Bangkok, come over to my website, trannyrec.com, and send me an email. I'd love to know about you and meet you.
Yeah, we'll follow your Macy's pussy closely, mm-hmm. and and then we'll get an update after the surgery.
And if Rito's willing to be on my show, we might have even a little Rito in there.
Oh, good. And your binaural microphone, you can stick one up your mouth and stick one up your pussy and have the pussy talk next
there
time.
There you go. Fuck that. So... I'm just going to put I'll put both of them in my pussy.
Oh, okay.
With my vibrator.
It'll be like, it'll be like that. Hello. I am Macy's pussy. I speak a little Thai. Sawadika. I just put this reverb. Oh my gosh, that was so bad. Maybe we'll do a skit together. I'll be the voice of your new pussy.
I have to tell you before we go that I don't know if you remember way back when we recorded the very first episode, the first show way back when, you had talked about, I have somebody that's going to be creating the audio portion of a theme song for me.
Bless
and, and would you be willing to lend your pipes to that project?
Oh, yeah.
So, but, yeah. Do you have any, if you, and maybe this is not something that your listeners are interested in listening to.
Maybe we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, if you could, yeah.
Definitely lend my voice, and we'll talk about the details after the show. But thank you so much, Rebecca, and it's really, really nice meeting you the other day and putting your face, a real person, flesh and meat, and into this character that I built in my head by listening to your show and when we chat. And so I wish you all the best, and I'm sure all the listeners would really appreciate all you've talked to us, you know, emotionally or vaginally. and
before you close, did you notice my mood message on Skype?
Oh no. This is, let me read that. What is it? I need God genital ong disease in my life. God.
That was. I thought that would be.
Is that gentle or genital? It's genital, right?
Yeah. Did I spell it right?
Genital
ong disease.
It's very far from
me. You are God.
I'm God. I'm genital ong disease. Maybe this is the show that I need to name it.
There you go. Genital ong disease. Right, see? another possible name.
I'm a healthy infection.
Nice.
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca Nay, and I'll be definitely checking out your website for updates, and
nice.
And then we'll chat when you come home, and we'll probably see you online while you're there too, if you get internet access.
If your listening hours are full with other podcasts, you can also enter your email address in on my website, and every time I put new content up, you'll get an email. That's another option too, aside from listening, for those that don't have the time to listen.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca, and all the listeners, thank you so much for, oh gosh, this is a long show. Well, it's a raw too, so it's not going to have any, like, that's my raw, which is like my way of calling a lazy show. Gotcha. Because I've decided to do only one show, so this will be a raw show. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for listening to this. You may have taken 5 days to finish this talk, but thank you for staying with us, and next week we'll see you again, and hopefully everybody is in a good mood because of a great election turnout. Hopefully. Cross my toes and fingers. Thank you. Bye, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't forget to smile.
Don't forget to smile. Even if you have a Walmart pussy, you need to smile like a Macy's pussy. Don't forget to smile, pussy. Bye.